to turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. We'll read verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then we want to go to Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace to any people. What is said in these two verses are simple facts concerning the concerning all the nations of the world. From the text there in Psalm 33, the fact is stated that there is a benefit, that there is a joy, that there is a pleasure and a satisfaction, and there is an honor when a nation sets their affections upon the Lord and acknowledges the Lord and trusts the Lord, seeks Him, worships Him, and follows Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So, a nation's foundation of true blessedness is the recognition of God, a submission to God. In Proverbs 14, the verse that we read there, we see that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The fact is stated that conformity to God's standard, that's righteousness, elevates a nation. Elevates a nation to greatness. But that which violates the laws of God brings a nation to disgrace, brings a nation to degradation. The history and the current course of the United States is an illustration of the truth that is presented in both of these verses. With that in mind, turn to Psalm 11 in verse 3. Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, that presents a possible danger. If the foundations be destroyed, and then a question is asked, what can the righteous, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? With that question, there is an implication that even when the foundations are destroyed, the righteous have a responsibility. They are to do something. I want to take the main thought of the message from Psalm 11 in verse 3. I want to speak this morning on allegiance to God in the midst of spiritual disconnect. Because we are a nation that is spiritually disconnected. What can the righteous do? Consider, first of all, the foundation of our country. In the decades following World War II, the United States began to wrestle with the question of where does God belong? Began to wrestle with that question. Where does God fit in? Where does God fit in our politics? Where does God fit in with our governing? Where does God fit in our educational system? And really, where God fits in is made very, very clear in our early history. We hear much today about separation of church and state. In fact, we hear so much about it that people have become intimidated by it and they believe it. Separation of church and state. But the truth is, the phrase, of course, is not in the Constitution of the United States. The phrase separation of church and state, that phrase came about from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association. In that letter, he told them, never again will there be a government-sponsored church like you had back in England. The First Amendment begins, of course, by saying, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. From that, we get today the teaching, the indoctrination of separation of church and state. But the truth is, Congress was prohibited of making any religious denomination a national denomination. And we do have, believe it or not, we do have a national denomination. It's called humanism. It is a religion. In fact, the Supreme Court declared it a religion. And it is taught everywhere today in our nation. But we're not going to get off on that. But if there is such a thing, if there was such a thing as separation of church and state, it was intended to be a one-way street, to keep government out of the church, not to keep religion or God out of government. On July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, which states their belief in Creator God. Before signing the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin called all the signers to prayer and to fasting. James Madison, the chief architect of the Constitution, said in reference to the Ten Commandments, religion is the basis and foundation of our government. Now, if a man said that today, he would not be elected to office. Religion is the foundation, is the basis and the foundation of our government. We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, control ourselves, and sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. We have staked everything upon this, is what Benjamin Franklin said. John Quincy Adams, who would become president, said about the Declaration of Independence, from the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they all acknowledge as the root of their conduct. We all came together, speaking of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we all came together to obey the word of God. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That man could not be elected to office today. That simple statement would cost him an election. Daniel Webster said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how soon catastrophe may overcome us. George Washington, of course, the first president, took the oath of office, put his hand on the Bible. They determined to open Congress with prayer. And George Washington, in his farewell address, said, do not allow anyone to claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. Can you imagine? Can you imagine today if someone stood up and said, you are not a patriot if you even attempt to separate religion or God from politics? Today, people get all up in arms if anyone's patriotism is called into question. But we have every reason to call into question a lot of people's patriotism. In 1777, the Continental Congress voted to spend $300,000 to purchase Bibles for distribution. It was John Jay, the first Chief Justice and father of the Supreme Court and one of the primary writers of the Constitution, who wrote, it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Imagine that being said today. He wouldn't be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In 1811, the Supreme Court said, whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends manifestly to the dissolution of civil government. In 1892, the Supreme Court ruled, our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. In this sense and to this extent, our civilizations and institutions are emphatically Christian. The Plymouth Charter says that the colony was established to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. The Delaware Charter defines the purpose of their colony to further propagate the Holy Gospel. The Rhode Island Compact, we submit our persons, our lives, and our estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the constitutions of all 50 states mention God. Was it their intention to keep God out of government? Absolutely not. Although Washington, D.C., if you were to walk through Washington, D.C., there is evidence all everywhere that our forefathers had no intention of keeping God out of government. If you were to go into the rotunda of the Library of Congress, there's a statue of Moses with the Ten Commandments. At the rear facade of the U.S. Supreme Court, again, is Moses with the Ten Commandments. Inside the Supreme Court's courtroom is a carving of Moses with the Ten Commandments. In the chapel, in the Capitol, is a stained glass window of George Washington praying. Again, our history plainly states that our founding fathers built government upon the foundation of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So it's very evident that it was not their intention to make God and government separate. It was not their intention at all. Also, it is clear from our history that God was the foundation of education. Prior to the Civil War, 90% of America's college presidents were preachers of the gospel. 123 of the first 126 colleges that were formed in the United States were formed upon Christian principles. You have Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William and Mary. All had church affiliations, and believe it or not, most of them were Baptist church affiliations. And it was their express intent, and they made no apology for it, it was their intent to educate youth for Christ. The statement of philosophy, and you can read these, you can go online and read them, but these statements of philosophy, they're still there. They're still there, though they're not practiced today. The statement philosophy of Yale is, seeing that God is the giver of all wisdom, every scholar or every student, besides private or secret prayer, shall be present morning and evening at public prayer. This is a state university. Princeton, cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Jesus Christ. The statement of Harvard, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God in Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And in 1782, Congress approved the use of the Bible in schools and even paid for it with tax dollars. That's not going to happen today. In fact, just the opposite has happened. Our early history also makes it clear that God and the teachings of Scripture are the foundation of society. The early founders and forefathers knew that when you take God out of something, that something will fail, whatever it is. They knew that. Most today do not know that, but they knew that. Again, Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now consider the present course and our responsibility. It's not my intention to get off on a lot of things. We certainly could. That's not our intention. But again, in Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, that's something that is very dangerous. It is a possibility. There is also a warning. In Proverbs 22 and verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. That's true of churches. That's true of homes. That's true of our government. As we have seen, we are a nation which in the beginning was characterized by a very bold and unapologetic acknowledgement of God. A very bold and a very unapologetic acknowledgement of our need of God. But oh, how things have changed. Now, for several decades now, our nation has been engaged in systematically eliminating God from every aspect of our existence. And most of it is done in the name of separation of church and state. In fact, that phrase has scared many churches into saying what needs to be said. They're scared. They're intimidated. Those whom we have quoted, if they were alive today, would be unelectable. They would not be elected today. George Washington would not be elected today. Thomas Jefferson would not be elected today. These men, those of the Supreme Court, would never be approved by both parties today. Wouldn't happen. We've seen it over and over and over again. Again, George Washington said, "Do not allow anyone to claim tribute to American patriotism if they even attempt to move religion from politics." And if a president of the United States said that today, I don't care if he was a Republican or a Democrat, there would be a call for impeachment if an American president were to make such a statement today. And what is sad is many who profess to be saved, they would be some of them that would be calling for impeachment. We have gone from a country that once recognized and acknowledged our need of God in government to a country that elects those who are hell-bent on removing God completely and the Word of God from every aspect of our society. It is a sad commentary on the United States when the ungodly and the immoral are elected to public office. It's a sad, sad commentary. There are a lot of people, all politicians today, claim patriotism. But you'd be hard-pressed to find very many patriots today. Again, I don't care, Republican or Democrat. There are not many patriots today. You have men and women who are out for their own agenda. But very few true patriots. We are a nation, again, that in the beginning we recognized and we acknowledged the importance of God in education. We acknowledge the importance of biblical principles being taught in our schools. But now God and His Word has been kicked out. They have been banned from education. And now God and His Word are ridiculed and attacked in the educational system of this country. And by the educational system, I don't mean every single school in that system. But overall, that is true. We have gone from a nation that sanctioned the use of the Bible in our schools to a nation where it is now legal, more legal to pass out condoms than it is to hand out the Word of God. How far we've gone. We have gone from a nation that realized the importance of the Ten Commandments to a nation that has outlawed them from being posted in public schools. Not only has God and the Word of God been removed from government education, God and His Word has been removed from many so-called churches today as well. The worship of the God of all has given way to entertainment, has given way to a feel-good religion. I'm telling you, there's hardly anywhere you can go today that God has not been banned. It's everywhere where God has not been replaced. Everywhere you turn, there's belligerent disrespect and disobedience to the laws of God. And at the same time, on the other hand, there is the sanctioning and the praise of that which is anti-God. The foundations that made this country great are being systematically destroyed. As a result, we are a nation drowning. We are a nation drowning in immorality. We are a nation drowning in wickedness. The foundations are being destroyed. The landmarks are, which our fathers have set, are being removed. And as a result, the family, as we knew it, is declining as never before. In fact, the family, as we once knew it, is almost non-existent today. Almost. There is an all-out attempt to redefine marriage. And now we're at the point where an entire month is set aside to encourage and to be proud about sodomites. Oh, how far we have gone. And most politicians are afraid to speak on the sodomy issue. They're afraid. They're intimidated. The foundations are being destroyed. The landmarks which our fathers set are being removed, and as a result, vices of all sorts are being legalized. And it's going to become more and more and more common to legalize vices because we can get money from this. And they began to legalize vices. We are a nation drowning in wickedness. We are a nation drowning in immorality. The foundations are being destroyed. The landmarks that our fathers set are being removed. And as a result, common sense has gone by the wayside. Stupidity is at an all-time high. Today, it'll be worse tomorrow. And a week from now, it'll even be worse. I mean, listen to them. Listen to them talk even about a budget. They have no sense whatsoever. None. And I'm talking about both parties. I'm talking about society in general. You cannot spend more than you take in. That's common sense. Common sense. But common sense died a long time ago. Our nation finds that God is a nuisance. God is an irritation to this nation. They find the Word of God to be a nuisance. They find the Word of God to be an irritation. But again, our history today is being rewritten. It's being revised. You pick up most history books today that are being used in schools, and it is more of a history on pop culture than it is American history. We are in a nation that does not know their own history, and that's by design. That's on purpose. God said in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else." We need to remember that. I am God, and there is none like me. The only hope of this nation is seen in the Bible history of the nation of Israel. There must be a tearing down of everything that is against God. And there must be a building up or reestablishment of the things of God. And sad to say, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in the United States. It's sad today, but it's true. Your children, your grandchildren will never know the United States that you knew. They never will. I don't believe we'll ever know it again, because the foundations have been destroyed. And you destroy the foundations. And there's going to be a collapse. But the question is asked in Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We that are saved by the grace of God, we that are the sons and daughters of God, today we live in a society, we live in a culture that is spiritually disconnected, that is ignorant of God. But we that are saved, we that have been adopted into the family of God, need to boldly and resolutely declare our allegiance, our loyalty, our dedication, our commitment, our love, and our very lives to the Lord. We need to, what can the righteous do? They need to be aligned with God. This isn't really a question about politics. It really isn't. Because politics will not fix what's wrong with this country. Politicians will not fix what's wrong with this country. There's only one thing that will fix it. And that's for a nation to fall on their knees and repent and call out to God. That's the only thing. So I do not pledge my allegiance to the Democrat Party. I do not pledge my allegiance to the Republican Party or any other party. Because they're not the answer. The answer is God. I also believe, being the times in which we live, and as you read the book of Revelation, that the United States isn't going to get better. I believe that. Some people get upset with that, and they say, well, you've got to have more assurance than that. But it's God's plan. To me, it's very obvious. And as you read the history of nations, you see that there is a point of no return. And we passed that a long time ago. But we have a responsibility. As God's people, we have a responsibility to be loyal, to be dedicated, to be committed to the things of Christ. We need, with Joshua, to stand and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Shouldn't be any hesitation. Shouldn't be any bashfulness. Shouldn't be any timidness in this matter. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it's one thing to make that declaration in the comfort of this church building. Anybody can do that. But it's quite another to live it. To live committed to God amongst the very enemies of God. And as people look at our lives, there should be no mistaking. There should be no confusion or uncertainty that we pledge our allegiance to the Lord. We love the United States. I still believe it's the greatest country in all the earth. There's nowhere else I'd rather live. And I'm thankful that God in His providence chose that I would be born and raised in the United States. But we are in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble, and it's not, you can say, it's because of the Democrats, it's because of the Republicans. No, it's because we have turned away from God. As a nation, we have turned away from God. It's because of this senator. It's because of that senator. It's because we have turned away from God. Do you realize that a lot of people would not be elected to office had we not turned away from God? Had we not turned away from God, abortion would not even be an issue. But it is an issue because we have turned away from God. Sodomy would not even be an issue. But it's an issue today because we have turned away from God. And on and on and on we could go. But that's not our intention. Again, what can the righteous do? We need to get serious about serving the Lord. We need to realize that our time is short. Most of us, if we do the math, we've lived the majority of our life. Just do the math. You've already lived most of your life. There's not much time left. We need to be serious about serving God. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Whatever happens in the next presidential election, every one of God's people ought to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Country may be going further and further and further from God, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're just going to keep on serving God. And though they have removed God from the educational system, we're going to teach our children about the Lord. We're going to teach them. We're going to lay the foundations. We're going to lay the foundations in our homes that are being destroyed everywhere else. We're going to lay them there, and we're going to build upon those foundations. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.